All right, go to Luke 12:15. Verse 15, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. We spent yesterday talking about abundance. And now we're going to look at this idea of possessing. And again, the word to possess something doesn't mean just the things, the material goods. It means your religion, your philosophy of life, your opinions, your ideas. Those are the possessions that become difficult. They're even more difficult than... well, let's go to Philippians a minute. Philippians chapter 3. And even he's using two hands to find the scripture today. Yep. I mean, there's a brand new Gary here.
2014, man.
It started yesterday. You weren't very good yesterday. Is this going to take a long time?
I've been there for a while.
Yeah. Go to verse 7. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, the all things there is everything we talked about. It isn't just material possessions. It's these things, the ideas, opinions, stands, philosophies. All right? So let's look.
What's name a few?
Huh?
What's name a few?
Politics. Opinions about it.
Favorite scriptures.
What?
Favorite scriptures.
You possess the favorite scripture?
Is that possible? I mean, I have a favorite scripture. Galatians 2:20. I love that one.
Well, that's a good one to possess.
Yeah, that's an okay possession.
No, because it's your death. So you automatically don't possess it.
When I think I have it, I really don't.
Huh?
When I think I have it, I really don't. But actually, I do. But I don't when I do.
Yeah, let's go on. Matthew 19. This is the... Starting verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, which? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. But I remember, for some reason, it just came to mind that in an interview about Robert Tilton, they asked me what would I recommend to Mr. Tilton, and I said, he'd go sell all he have and start following the real Jesus. Later on, the informant that was very close to him said that really cut him to the quick.
Probably the real Jesus part.
No, I think it was the sell all you have part. But anyway, is there anybody have any comments about the rich young ruler?
Well, he walked away from it.
Right.
But that just says loud and clear, you can't do it. You can't hear those words and then do it. You can repent, I suppose, is your best.
Well, what do you mean you can't do it?
Can you really?
Can you go sell all you have? Of course you can.
Then there's something you can do. That's kind of what I'm...
Well, that's what it says. I mean, what shall I do?
Yeah. A lot of people say that. What shall I do?
The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? And Jesus said to him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasures in heaven. Come, follow me. No, I didn't sell all I had, but I abandoned all I had. Walked away from everything.
Yeah, that's turning your back on it. Sell it or not, I agree. That's to turn away from it.
You got to remember the one takeaway that is, again, that it just like it brings in my head constantly is that I could never again do anything to help myself. I can't tell you how many times that came and smacked me. All right, let's go to the next one. Let's talk about the rich young ruler some more. I think I can prove that the rich young ruler was Lazarus. And so,
difference would that make?
Well, it's only that it says of the rich young ruler that Jesus loved him. And so there was... Yeah. But even the point of it is, even that he had to say the hard sayings. And then the great mystery is that even after he was dead, Jesus called him.
Yeah, there's something about him that he was kind of had his heart was in the right place because he did all the stuff. But then that one thing that meant the most, get rid of your substance, which would be to live by faith, that was the cross of the Lord.
All right, let's look at the next one. Go to Luke 14. Start in verse 25. And there were great multitudes with him, and he turned, and he said unto them, if any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother, and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after you have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage, desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whatsoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple. Forsake not all that you have. And really, the meaning is really very deep. It's forsake everything that makes you you. Divorce yourself. Divorce, for you then, there is no past, there is no future. Is only the eternal now. And that's what all this stuff about building or going to war is about. For us, we build by tearing down. I mean, this has got to hit you. So, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. That scripture is one of the reasons that over the years the people have made two different kinds of believers. There's just regular believers, and then there's disciples. It may not be stated, but it's certainly preached in terms of this stuff isn't preached in church that I know of. Yeah. Forsake all that you have. Well, that's for disciples. That's not for us regular folks.
I don't ever remember hearing a sermon that put people in an either or situation. That puts you in an either or situation.
All right, let's go to the next one. Go to Acts 4. Paul and John have just been imprisoned, and they were threatened, and then finally released. And so anyway, in verse 23, this is right after Pentecost, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto us, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the same, by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Why don't we? What happened? Where we don't? Where this isn't true anymore? Anybody have any thoughts? Neither said any that aught that he possessed was his own, but they had all things common.
Was this just a thing in time and space that happened as a picture, not intended to continue that way?
No, it was continued. It was intended to continue that way.
And so this would be then the model of the church.
Amen. We certainly don't have all things common, but we have a lot more common than we would probably than we would have had we not been a church. But just think of that saying: neither said any of them that aught he possessed was his own. They had all things common. And they had no need.
I have a funny example about you. And when we first were meeting on Newton Court, I was always impressed that you were very open with your stuff. You did have a certain drawer you didn't want us to look into in your file cabinet.
But what? I don't remember what that anything like that. I had a door, a drawer.
You had a little, the bottom drawer of one of your file cabinets. You kind of didn't want people fooling around with that.
Oh, because it was a personnel files.
Probably whatever it was.
Yeah.
But lack of privacy for the most part, and people would go and open your desk drawer, and you just didn't seem to care. You know, it was kind of wow. I don't know why, but that came back as a memory. I was impressed by that. And that went on for a couple of years, probably. But then I think you got tired of Larry Ferguson or some others just taking liberties. And you kind of changed a little bit. But somehow it speaks to that having all things common. Well, what's mine is yours, you know. And there's it's an odd example, but it pretty much...
Well, I remember that. You remember, I was making $20 a week, and I ate one meal a day in Highland Park cafeteria for $1.83.
That was good too.
It was good, but remember, then several times each week, either one of the group, some of the people would invite me to dinner. So I mean, So I supplemented my one meal a day by the generosity of the group. And then I got the talk show, and then we had the trade out at that restaurant, so we all ate free.
That was a golden year.
But anyway, the point of it is there's at least we've moved in that direction to have all things in common.
Yeah.
Um, But it's a biggie. I mean, it's... Neither said aught that he possessed was his own.
Yeah. You know, the real deal there is yourself. Do you possess yourself? Do you hide yourself? Are you, you know, your things are just things.
Well, I mean, but they're both important.
Both are. You can really get squirrely over your personal stuff.
All right, let's go to... let's go to a weird one, and then we'll continue on more of this. Let's go to Luke 21. Let's just start in verse 14. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer or say. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends, and some of you they shall cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not be a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. In your patience possess ye your souls. And it's the same word for possess. Hyperkanta. In your patience, possess your souls. What does that mean?
What comes to mind is sometimes we give away our happiness to other people around us, you know, let that affect us, but I don't know if that has anything to do with that or not.
Well, that's one of those kind of sayings that we probably won't fully understand until the end. But I think that it means that as a believer, your soul is now a new thing. The idea that you abandon yourself and present yourself the living sacrifice is the way that you possess your soul. It's and part of it is what Pete said, is that you no longer need the praise of men. You don't. I mean, it's just a totally different life than it's a life that I never thought possible. But it's one of these scriptures that just it's from the beginning. It's just I when I first saw that, it just cemented in me that's really something big. And I've seen more and more about it as time went on. But it's let's look at patience. The word patience. Let's go to Revelation 13.
Let me say something about it. We can go, but it's like it said in your patience. What's going on when you're having to be patient? You're waiting. You're not exerting yourself. And so you're kind of driven down into your soul. You suddenly are aware of it because your soul might want to respond and not be patient, but to reach out and lean on your own understanding to solve whatever problem that's driving you to either be patient or forward or the opposite.
Yeah, it's all of that. It's waiting on God instead of leaning on your own understanding, because that's now your soul has been, it's now
stirred up.
It's a new thing. I mean, it's Your soul is a new, totally new for anything that used to be. You no longer fear what they fear. You no longer esteem what they esteem. It's
the possessed part enters in right about
that. Well, that's what the possession is. You recognize that. It's the more you see that you've been bought with a price. And so possess and is a strange word to use about your soul. But that's what caused us to have such an impact on me, because possess and abandon seems like they're contradictions. But it's not a contradiction if you understand what he's saying. He just got through saying that they're going to kill you and think they're doing God holy service. You'll be hated of all men. But in patience, possess your soul. Don't let any of that affect you. Because it doesn't affect him. So let's look at patience. In other words, it's used in strange ways. Go to Revelation 13. When he's talking about the beast, or you, or the Antichrist. In verse 8, it says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him." And these are the dwellers whose names are not written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And again, as we've said this so often, it says over and over in the scriptures that all who dwell on the earth are deceived. Doesn't matter whether you call yourself a Christian or not, call yourself an atheist or anything else, but if your home is the earth, or it's time and space, then you're deceived.
But it says that worship him.
Huh?
Who they worship him?
You, yourself, the Antichrist. All who dwell on the earth worship themselves, worship the Antichrist.
Okay.
You got it?
Well, I just didn't read the context coming up to it. It sounded like worshiping God.
No.
Okay.
If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Here is the patience of the saints. Now the word patience there, and before also, it means a steadfast continuity. You don't change with circumstance. You don't change with anything. You're not affected by anything temporal because you don't live on the earth. You're not affected by politics. You're not affected by the religion that's going on or the philosophies that are going on, because you in patience possess your soul, and here is the patience or persistence. A little bit. Now let's look at one more where it's used again. Let's go to Revelation 14. And it defines the patience. Verse 12.
So when we should all have been with Christ,
I know. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. They may, and the word says, that they may Sabbath from their labors and their works to follow. There's nothing bigger in terms of our walk than hearing this. Here, look at it. It's called, here's the patience of the saints defined. What is it? It's patience. It's the faith in God. Well, here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ and the patience of the saints. So that's all the same. Because your identity never changes. You know who you are. Your real life is Christ. He's your only self.
Galatians 2:20 here, where it, the command.
are they that keep the commandments of God? Here, let's just read it again. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
Yeah, that part. On one hand, it's an injunction that you keep them. On the other hand, it's the faith of Christ, which is not your faith. It's in Galatians 2, I live, yet not I.
Right, it's you recognize that he is your only life.
Yeah.
That's why that affirmation that I found is so important to me. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal self, live thou thy life in me, do thou thy will in me, be thou made flesh in me. I have no self but thee, I have no will but thine. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God.
You know what's odd about that is that you're praying to Jesus.
It's not a prayer, it's an affirmation.
You're calling it that, but it doesn't sound like sounds like a prayer to Jesus, and that's what I'm saying. Instead of praying to God, which you've always taught and said, and suddenly you twist and you go to praying to Jesus, and it's real important to you, and it sounds funny for them.
Okay. But again, there's a big difference between a prayer and an affirmation.
Yeah.
Because the reason it's so important to me is it kills me every time I say it. I see the cross more deeply every time I say it. I don't get confused by only even existing. Anyhow, we'll get more on. We'll go to Proverbs and Isaiah and some places in the Old Testament when we next meet. Anybody have any response to any of this? He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. All right. Take a big guy. Are we meeting?